the top. Yeah. Never turn it off. Give it all I got. Give me all. Yeah, journey to the top. Woo! Never turn it off. Give it all I got. Give me all.
11,000 meters high.
Yeah.
11 hours in the sky.
Hello everybody, I say good evening for everybody here in Sweden, and I say good afternoon to who? Who am I talking to?
Well, my name is Bo Henrik, aka Henrik Jacobson, aka Bo Jacobson's son.
Okay, so where are you?
I am currently in my house in East Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
And what are you doing there?
I am, do you mean just in general or at this very moment?
In general.
In general, I am a performing artist and producer. I make records with local artists here in the city, and I play live around British Columbia mainly right now, and record. Do some engineering as well.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah, the music you heard in the beginning, you heard something that sounded like Worlds Away and Fly Away and everything. Is that your situation? You are far away, and I know now in the world we are talking about it, we hear about it, Corona pandemic, COVID-19. So has that influenced your life? You tried to do something. Could you do what you wanted to do? Have things changed? Tell us about it.
That's pretty accurate to my situation. I wrote that song like well before any of this started. We were in Los Angeles at the time, and it was just me and a couple other guys from Sweden talking about how crazy the journey's been, like pursuing music and whatnot, like traveling and taking stupid risks. But then like, yeah, it seems like it pertains very, very well to today's situation as well. The COVID pandemic hit, obviously all musicians were pretty much affected because you couldn't do shows as you used to. Everybody was supposed to stay indoors and whatever. We canceled a bunch of shows, and me and my manager, Roberto, were like, we don't really know what to do now. We ended up coming up with this idea to do shows outdoor throughout the summer that could be like socially distanced.
Yeah, we will come back to that in a little bit. So obviously you came to Canada to really kick off your singing and career as an artist, performer, dancer, and everything what you do. And as far as I understand, you it did take off. You produced songs. They came. You came on the list on Spotify, and you were successful internationally, all the way to Africa. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that came right before this started, and then things changed.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, do you mean the success in Africa, or do you mean like the first song releases?
Yeah, you released a song called "Take Me to the Sunlight." Obviously, became a pretty big hit.
So, yeah, no, it's funny. Like I'd written that song like 2-3 years ahead of time, just guitar, vocal, and then I'd gotten the production done like almost 2 years before that, and the music video was done at least like 5 months, 6 months, like the last edit, like, and that was multiple shoots and flights to Sweden and back, like, also, yeah, 6 months before it came out. It was just it took forever to find the right team to release it with and the right situation, and yeah, we ended up releasing it, and like, relatively speaking, it was pretty successful for being like I guess a breakout single for 2020. I hadn't released anything in a long, long time. So, we ended up getting some Spotify streams, like base level. Somehow it's charted on South Africa's like iTunes charts, like the pop charts and the all genres as well. It hit the top 100 for a day or two, but still, that was pretty cool. I got some of my first radio interviews in the city, and we started playing some shows, and yeah, it was good. It was a really good start to 2020, like we did
Worlds
Away and then Take Me to the Sunlight. And, yeah.
So it really started well, and this was early in the year. And then when did this hit you, like in Canada, when it started, when things started to change? Like, when did you have your last performance? When did you feel like, oh, now it's changing, now it's not so easy anymore?
Probably like a month after that. So I think we released that song in February, if I'm not mistaken. And then we started getting news of Corona like in March or something like that. In school, like, oh, maybe we'll have to go at home for 2 weeks. And we were like, oh, shoot, 2 weeks. That might mess with our Roxy show. And then obviously 2 weeks pass, and they're like, maybe this will be more like 6 months. And we're like, oh, shit, okay. You know? And then it started to really hit us, like, after March, early April. We were like, oh, my God, no, this is a real thing. This is actually going to affect everything.
You were still very productive before you had your kind of lockdown or whatever you had. I know you did produce several videos that became pretty popular. So which one came after Take Me to the Sunlight?
After Take Me to the Sunlight came Ride the Vibe. So, yeah. No, it was great. Like, we did... In the fall, winter of 2019, we did Santa from Atlanta. And then shortly after that, we did Worlds Away to build up for Take Me to the Sunlight. And then we did Take Me to the Sunlight. And then a month and a half, 2 months after that, we did Ride the Vibe. But that was in COVID. So by the time the one after Take Me to the Sunlight came, we had to do everything after, like, a bunch of protocol and lots of planning around and crazy stuff.
Okay, so maybe we can play Take Me to the Sunlight, just a little bit of it, so we get a taste of it.
For sure.
Got clouds in my blue eyes, tears in my sunrise, can't find my way.
So I have a few more questions here. I know... You really tried together with your musical friends and supporters. You were trying to really do everything that was possible to get your music out, meet your fans and people that wanted to listen to your music and see you in person and your band. What did you do? Because now it was getting a little bit. Yeah, a little bit gloomy. Everybody here talked about there is nothing for the artists to do. They cannot perform. This is really, really bad. What did you do?
Like I was saying right at the beginning, like we were kind of like, oh, shit, everything's canceled. What do we do? I guess 2020 summer won't be what we thought it would be, you know? And then, my manager came with this awesome idea of buying an ice cream truck.
Ice cream truck.
Exactly.
You wanted to go into business, right?
Yes, we were thinking ice cream will still sell really well. Ice cream is that. Let's just quit music and do ice cream. And I was like, that actually seems way more stable. Let's do
that. Is that really true?
No. So we bought an ice cream truck and started putting on street shows in BC, like throughout the summer, like all the beaches and places that people could be outside.
All right.
And we got a full venue set up, like a PA, got mixers, we had all the instruments, and we made a collective of, like, the different musicians that we knew, because everybody's shows was canceled. So everybody was available.
Right.
Started putting on shows, you know, and started a collaboration with Covenant House that takes care of, like, at-risk and homeless youth, which is an amazing cause, and they need the money. So the money that they got, I'm super happy that it went there. And of course, on top of that, there's the fact that it's a lot harder to shut down a live show if it's literally saving the homeless. People won't close that, you know.
So you worked for a good cause. You really brought in money to give to people that really needed it. And I know a lot of attention came. You had radio interviews, obviously TV and the newspapers, And how did it feel to go out there? You advertised somehow, like just like a few hours before you were going to go somewhere. And how did it work?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that was the idea. It was very hard to consistently pull that off. Like, because I think people don't realize how much shit goes into doing anything. Like, if you're putting on a show by yourself, it becomes very clear how much work goes into putting it on a show. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously, like, there's every instrument, you know, needs miking from all the angles. Like, the drums are, like, you know, 9 microphones, and it's very easy to mess one of those things up. And then there's all the pieces of the drum set. Like, somebody forgets a screw, and all of a sudden you don't have a hi-hat. The drummer can't really play as normal. So, you know, it's all the parts of the drum set and the miking and the mic stands. I don't know how many times we run out of mic stands and cables.
So you had to improvise quite a bit, probably.
Oh, yeah. There's so many times we were like, we're going to put on a show at 7. And then we're there. Everything's set up. It's 6:30. We got a half an hour left. And then we're like, we don't have a power source. None of this shit works.
Right.
So somebody has to run and try and charge the battery or figure out a way to fix that. And then we're supposed to sell shirts, and then we're like, oh, no, the shirts aren't at the print shop yet, or the paint job of the truck is not getting done. The guys are being slow at work, so somebody's driving 2 hours as fast as they can from another city to try and get it there on time. And then you're at the same time trying to promote the show, but you're like, you don't want to have lots of people show up and then realize that, oh, no, we can't do this show for another hour and a half, and then people traveled to get there, you know?
Right.
So there was a lot of trial and error, but essentially we'd promote it on the day of or the day before that we'd be somewhere, and then people would show up.
But you must have felt the energy from people that were really happy. Something is happening. Somebody's coming out to sing, and we can have fun again. Because this was legal, fairly legal in a way, to be out singing. And there were not much entertainment going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You knew people needed it. Like, it was very obvious that people, like, just, like, something, just anything. Like, oh, is there entertainment? There's actual live music happening. There's people doing things and they're happy? That's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what really, like, showcased how much people were like, this is great. We're very happy that something's happening. Was, like, we did some of the first shows at Sunset Beach in Vancouver.
Yeah.
At the concession stand. And the guy who lived by the concession stand was like, yeah, totally, go for it. We don't care. Just don't go too late. And then in the crowd, we had, like, some guy who worked at the mayor's office who was like, okay, I can talk to bylaw if they come to give you a fine. The mayor actually walked by and was like, hey, man, this is great. We won't tell anybody. Just keep playing. We need this right now. And then later on, we played shows, and, like the cops would just be like, yeah, we don't see anything over there. Nothing's happening. They just, like, roll by and be like, yeah, no, we didn't notice great. That. It's fine.
So this was, like, on the borderline, but people really, the authorities kind of approved of it.
There was one time we should have gotten a $2,000 fine.
Oh, really?
We saw the guy come up, and we were like, shit, this is, like, the RCMP are here, and the Mounties are here. We know we're going to get screwed, you know? Or, like, the park guides, park rangers, whatever they're called. And then, they came up and donated $40.
Oh.
And then told us we could never do it again.
Well, that's great. Now, you played a lot of songs, of course, and almost every night there for a while. I think you made a lot of performances, like up to 20 in a short time, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we did over 20 shows over the summer, which is crazy.
Did you have a favorite song? Was it a song that you kind of liked that we kind of could play a little bit here and a little bit? Which song
would
that
be? Yeah, of course.
Which song was your sort of favorite for the summer that you sang with your friends?
Like, of my own original songs?
Yeah.
I probably Ride the Vibe is my favorite, I think. Ride the Vibe, Love Off the Menu.
Can we listen to it a little bit?
Yes, let's go for Ride the Vibe.
Caught you with your artsy friends again. A jazzy scene with gin and smoky thin, yeah. Thought you'd do your back to play pretend, but I ain't about that bullshit.
morning, silky skin and silky blue. Let's run it back another session.
Okay, and this is a really nice song. Also, there's a nice video. So you can go in on YouTube and watch Bo Henrik play Ride the Vibe. And Ride the Vibe became a pretty good hit too, right?
I mean, relatively speaking, for sure. Like, I'm pretty happy with how it was received. It definitely gave me some fans in the city, which I'm pretty happy about. And yeah, playing shows after it came out was also really, really fun. Because it is a vibe, as it is in the song. And it's fun. Every once in a while you get a song that people you visibly connect to where they're like, oh shit, that's an original? Oh, cool, you know? And you see things coming, you play shows, and then you see those people later online, like, sharing it and stuff.
So, yeah, actually, during your performances, most of your songs were actually originals then, and a few covers maybe.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, no, it was definitely mainly originals. It's just that not all of them have been released yet. It was like probably 70% originals, 30% covers.
Yeah, okay, that's not bad. So I will probably ask you to play one more song, but before we do that, I know you made another song eventually later in the season, and I know after you were out performing with your ice cream truck, that you can also see on pictures, I think, when they search Bo Henrik. And then it got a little bit tighter, right? It really, somebody did not eventually allow this kind of music anymore. What happened?
Oh, yeah, you mean, are you referring to the street band?
Yeah.
Like the band of busking? Yes. Yeah, that was crazy. That was another, honestly, like, big ups to Roberto, like, my manager. Like, his way of handling these things is actually kind of mind-boggling in retrospect. Like, he told me, like, oh, we've got a ban on busking. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. And he was like, yeah, I guess we pack things up. We were, like, looking at a really good final month, you know? We were just before that band came in, we were like, okay, cool, we can get one more month out of this. The weather's looking good, we can push this project further, we can get our money's worth, this is great, you know? But yeah, the band comes in to telling everybody that you can't do any type of street performing, even if you had a license. If you used to have a license, you can't keep it anymore, you know, whatever. And we were like, oh, shit, okay, well, I guess that's it. And then we were talking a little later, and he was like, you know what? I think you can do a demonstration. I think no matter what happens, you can always put on a demonstration. I think that's like a political right you always have as people, you know?
Yeah, you have that right.
In a modern free society.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I was like, word, okay, cool. So what does that mean? What do we do? And we were looking at, we wanted to play the Vancouver Art Gallery Plaza anyways, because it's this huge plaza downtown. And just logistically, like, it's very easily to socially distance there. Say we even if we had 400 people, that plaza holds, like, 4,000 people. So you could have people completely spread out. You just need to make sure you play loud enough.
Yeah.
It always has events there, you know. All the protests are there. So we were like, okay, cool. We talked to the Vancouver police. And then we were like, hey, we're going to put on a demonstration. They were like, okay, cool. We'll make sure that it happens safely. And we were like, great. Okay, cool. And then we talked to the Vancouver Art Gallery Plaza, and we're like, we want to do this on this date. They're like, okay, we put you in your calendar. We're like, what? Okay. You can do this? So then I talk to the people in the city. I do a couple of interviews about it. I get a carnival band that's like a full brass band full of, like, I don't know. They got like 18 members, like, playing different brass instruments and screaming and yelling, and we get a blues band, we get an R&B pop band. I'm obviously performing. I get some of the dancers in the city to come out and cypher. They all do dances throughout the whole day. I end up getting on, like, breakfast television and global news and radio shows.
Yeah.
All this shit. And everybody's, like, very positive towards it because it's, like, it's such an obvious bullshit thing. Like, if you're gonna have gyms open, you're gonna have clubs, bars open, you're gonna have, you know, work still happening.
Yeah.
And you're gonna tell the one guy who's making his money from playing on the street corner that he can't play because that's too unsafe.
Yeah.
Like, it's very obviously bullshit. You know?
It doesn't really make sense. But
it makes no sense. It's just to make it look like we're doing things.
So this was a brilliant idea. So instead of, well, you turned a demonstration into a carnival more or less, but with a message. And obviously the message came through really strongly. And when I Googled Bo Henrik, Vancouver and this kind of new law that came, you popped up, and there was this TV interview that, and they were really backing you up really well.
All of the news outlets were way more supportive than I expected.
Right.
I expected way more backlash, like way more like, so is this really safe? Are you guys being idiots? Are you guys just finding an excuse to party?
Right.
And it turned out, no, everybody was like, everybody understood. Everybody was like, yeah, no, this is clearly stupid. You know, why are we punishing people for no reason? You know?
Yeah. Okay. I guess they had their reasons, but yeah, it was really weird. So anyway, around this time or a little bit before, you produced another song that went pretty well too. What was the name of that song and what's the title?
Love Off the Menu. It's like a modern kind of 80s take, I guess. Like a pop track, kind of the Weeknd style track.
So, and if you listen to Spotify sometimes, you can always, talking to my listeners now, and you can go in and find under Bo Henrik, Love Off the Menu, and had a lot of listeners there, and it went really well. That's your strongest song so far, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it like objectively probably is too. Like it seems to, I mean, the songs have grown for each release, but I think also that one, when I talk to my friends and to talk to family and stuff, that's the one that's become the most popular.
Yeah. So would you mind if we play that one a little bit
and not
let
the
listeners listen
not.
To that? And then I have some final questions. And then we probably start to prepare for Christmas. So please, let's listen to Love Off the Menu.
Always be you and me, you and me. We stole our tents from their tents. We made but I'll forever and ever be mad about you. Oh, forever and ever we got that tattoo. Oh, we come a long way from what we once knew. And forever our love is off of the menu. Oh, forever and ever be mad about you. Oh, forever and ever we got that tattoo. We come a long way from what we once knew. And forever our love is off of the menu.
So there we go. Now, we are in December. It's soon Christmas. And, well, how do you feel like people react in Vancouver and in Canada in general? Are people starting to get hopeful, or are they really worn out, tired, fatigued from all the worries around, all the troubles around Corona?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? And then people are losing money and having problems.
I mean, it really depends on who you're talking to be honest. Like, I would say I think a lot of people have found a way to, like, cope with it and deal with it where they have, feel pretty good at this point, because, like, I think everybody at this point, everybody's had, like, moments of, like, full depression and anxiety because we're not built to live like this. So I think a lot of people went through a couple of weeks of that, of, like, darkness, kind of, and then found what they had to do, you know, like, got into their workout routine and got into, you know, like, whatever it is. Like, you kind of find a way to deal so you feel pretty good, and then maybe you have your couple of people that you hang out with, and you're pretty conscious of how the lack of human interaction is affecting you. And then you're able to kind of work with that. Because originally, I think at first, like, when these things hit, you kind of just continue as usual, and then you just notice that you're feeling worse, but you don't really think, you don't think to do much about it, if you know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot of effort to be happy anyways, I think.
Yeah.
For people, like, it's a high effort thing to feel good. And I think a lot of people took those things into account, and there's a lot of things that are pushed to make sure that people do that, you know? I think a lot of people get into their meditation and their, like, microdosing, whatever it is. Like, they get into something that makes them feel better. But, yeah, I mean, loads of people are also like, holy shit, I lost so much money. I don't know how I'm going to survive, you know?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been, there are many different sides of this. And I think one thing that's going to be clear is that we also will miss the singing, the entertainment, the interaction between people. We appreciate being with people. Even the smallest party sounds like a fantastic thing now. We are not really having any parties or anything like that. But anyway, we are moving towards Christmas. And I know you made a song that you kind of have worked on that's called There's Something with Christmas Around It. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So I made a song for Christmas last year called Santa from Atlanta, which is just, it's about being a broke dude during Christmas, wishing you had, you know, the money to get all the ignorant, fun things that they would get you the girl, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I just had, it's like everything every dude says, you know, like, dude, if I had $1 million, like, I'd buy, like, a Lamborghini Aventador
exactly,
and, like, Gucci
yeah.
shoes, you know? So yeah, it's just about that. So if you had a Santa from Atlanta, like the head of the home of hip hop, like a hip hop Santa that would come give you all the stuff. So yeah, anyways, we did an acoustic remix of it just the other day at Kush Club, with Ade Wolf, an artist here in Vancouver, who did a fantastic job. He sings two verses on it. He's got his own puns on it, and yeah, me and Arthur Delahook on drums, Arthur Delahook on drums, me on guitar and vocals, and him on vocals, and yeah, it was a good time. It was like, it felt like old times again, because we were just, you know, we were able to get a little license to do that, and have my friends come in and do the sound engineering, and have my manager do the video shoot, and have us play music, you know. Just doing that for a night was really, really fun, really refreshing.
Okay, so yeah, I think we're gonna try to play Santa from Atlanta one way or another. Which one can we play? Can we use the new version, or
maybe? I think the new version might take a minute to be made. I don't know when this comes out. If this comes out in a week or two, then we can play the new version. Otherwise, we'll go with the one from 2019.
Well, but we can this time maybe have the original, the first version. And with that, I think from Sweden, we would like to wish you very Merry Christmas, as nice as it can be, and that the spring will really be full of entertainment, and that we all get healthy and vaccinated, and back on the road again. So
absolutely, yeah. Big Merry Christmas to everybody back home, to you, and I'm hoping we all can have a good time anyways, and I'm sure we will. Yeah. We usually do, right? Yeah.
Thank you for taking this call. It was great to talk to you. Bye-bye, Henry.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, dun-dun-dun-dun. I need a Santa from Atlanta. Ooh, Santa from Atlanta. I just wish for trees and a Dolce & Gabbana. Santa from Atlanta, yeah, Santa from Atlanta. Need them baby mamas all the way from Olivetta. So, sick and tired of being broke. If I'ma get me some, I'ma need some new clothes. A Cuban one to smoke, pair it up with rum and coke. Gucci on my feet and the money on my gold. Yellow shining Lambo just to pull up to a home. Man, I swear if Santa gave me that, man would go. I bet Post Malone would even take me on the road. In a world with Santa from Atlanta, we'll be done.
I need a Santa from Atlanta, ooh, Santa from Atlanta. I just wish for trees and a Dolce & Gabbana. Santa from Atlanta, yeah, Santa from Atlanta. Baby mama's all the way from Olivetta.
From Atlanta,
won't you bless me with your mind? I need that suave sway play just to get with my Madonna. Need that silver touch game with no outer fake persona. Need that Kurt Cobain so I can bring it to Nirvana. I don't sign up from Atlanta, got no time for me. Putting in the work so I can sell my green. Losing all my money to dispensaries. This legal weed economy is killing me.
I need a sign up from Atlanta, ooh, sign up from Atlanta. I just wish for trees and a Dolce & Gabbana. Sign up from Atlanta, yeah, sign up from Atlanta. Need them baby mamas all the way from Olivetta. So, oh, 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 all I need is, oh, oh, just bounce with me, yeah.
If one wish could come true, it's that we make it through to the top.
Make it to the top, yeah, yeah.
Just one wish of mine is that this is my time to climb up.
Climb it up.
If one wish could come true, it's that we make it through to the top.
Make it to the top, yeah, yeah.
Just one wish of mine is that this is my time to climb up.
Climb it up. I need a sign up from Atlanta, ooh, sign up from Atlanta. I just wish for trees and a Dolce & Gabbana. Sign up from Atlanta, yeah, sign up from Atlanta.